News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
The HSE has confirmed that vaccinations of those people considered high risk because of serious illness, they're going to start in the middle of this week. It comes as the Department of Health confirmed 3 further deaths yesterday and 525 new cases. Dr. Colm Henry is the Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE and he's with us in our Republic of Work studio this morning. Dr. Colm Henry, good morning.
Good morning.
The news that you're starting this vaccination programme, who is included on this list and how confident are you that you're going to capture them all?
Well, this group was originally Group 7, and as we all know from our experience here, not just in Ireland, but internationally, the greatest single risk for serious illness, hospitalisation and death from COVID comes with age. But there was a recognition always, and especially an evolving awareness over the past year, that people with certain conditions, certain high risk, carried a risk of serious illness of COVID. And it's due to the advocacy on behalf of clinicians and patient groups themselves for this group that NIAC surveyed the evidence, looked at the international experience and decided to bring elements of many different conditions based on different clinical criteria to bring these people up and put them to this new category 4, and that's what we're beginning this week.
So how are these people going to find out how they're going to be vaccinated? Is this putting another burden on GPs?
These groups, many diverse medical conditions, kidney disease, heart disease, neurological disease, respiratory disease, cancer, a whole range of conditions. There's no button we can press that gives us a list of the people, where they are and their condition right across the country. So it's that work is well underway in identifying these people. And we're working with hospitals in the first instance and also with the community to identify some of these groups. And there are many different groups within it. And as I said, as we said last week, we've already begun the exercise of identifying these people, where they are, so we can begin scheduling and rolling out the vaccination.
But who contacts them? Is it the GP who will contact them in the first instance?
We will contact them. There's no need for anyone out there who's worried, who thinks they might be a member or part of this group. There's no need.
So we as the HSE?
We, the HSE, will contact them, either working through hospital. In the first instance, we're working at the people we can most easily identify through hospital networks. For example, Jonathan, people with renal disease, people with, who are actively attending cancer centres. The criteria are quite clear coming from NIAC. And in the first instance, we're going to work through hospital networks to identify many of these groups who are most easily identifiable.
And very important that they get the vaccine because they are very vulnerable, as we know. But they will have been listening, as everyone else has, for the last few weeks of targets being missed. And pretty much every target on vaccination has been missed so far because of supply, primarily. How confident are you that you're going to get the vaccines that you need to give to this group? And how quickly can it be achieved?
We're as confident as we can be. Yes, what's happened in the past few weeks, like other European countries, is that scheduled deliveries for particular vaccines, including most recently the AstraZeneca vaccine, did not arrive. And we got fairly short notice for the AstraZeneca vaccine. We got fairly short notice of a shortfall of about 75,000 vaccines, which they say they'll make good by the end of March, which is welcome.
Do you believe them?
Well, we have no choice but to go ahead and make our plans based on the committed deliveries. But so far, what has happened has been upwards of 20 or so rescheduled deliveries where deliveries were meant to come to the country. We had developed our plans for administering those vaccines and then we had to curtail them at short notice. That's happened up to 20 times, or I think a little bit more now at this stage. Some of them not that significant, others more significant, such as those over the past 2 weeks. We have no choice but to proceed based on their commitments. And that's what
so
we're
you
doing.
Missed your target last week. You're going to miss your target again this week. How confident are you that the week after next you're going to at least be able to make up some of that ground?
Based on the commitments given by those three vaccine groups, the Pfizer, the Moderna and the AstraZeneca, I'm as confident as we can be that we're going to meet those targets. But let me point out, Jonathan, while people talk about targets, let's look at the outcomes of what's happened over the past, even in this country. We see a fall of healthcare worker infection. It peaked on the week ending January the 17th of over 1,000 hospital healthcare workers positive for COVID. In the most recent, up to February 28th, it was 39. It's a huge drop. And while there's been a drop in community transmission, which has contributed to that, there's no doubt that much of that is due to the vaccine effect. And likewise, with healthcare associated COVID, we've seen a drop of nearly 500 cases per week in mid-January to 51. So there's lots of good news happening as a result of the rollout of the vaccine. It's not just a question of targets.
But of course, there is massive demand outstripping supply. Mm. And the question that everybody wants the answer to is, when am I going to get my vaccine? We had a commitment that the vast majority of people who wanted it would get it by the summer. Are we still on target for that?
I think based on the diverse profile of vaccines that are now becoming available, we're seeing a fourth one come on the market soon with if it gets conditional market authorization. That's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. That would be another, to use that phrase, game changer, as is a single dose vaccine. So the diverse profile of vaccines with all those companies ramping up production, with the EU really putting pressure on the companies, I'm more confident based on the overall story that we're going to get there.
We inevitably have stories about the vaccines not arriving when GPs expected them, vaccines arriving but needles not. The HSE's supply chain was not really designed for something of this scale, and it has been ramping up. But when we get to that point of mass vaccination, when all the vaccination centres are going and GPs and pharmacies are getting it, do we not need at that point some external help, someone on the outside, perhaps the army, perhaps somebody in the private sector, to support what the HSE is doing? Because people will suspect that you will not have the capacity to meet that demand.
Well, let's look at the issue that you bring up first of all with the GPs. Yes, there were some instances absolutely where the deliveries didn't arrive on the set day, and also where the consumables, as we put it, the instruments required to assist vaccination, it didn't come in time. But for the overwhelming majority of GP practices, we're talking over 1,300 practices, we carried out an exercise using a very tricky vaccine. This is not like the flu vaccine, Jonathan, that arrives pre-packed, ready to go. It's a fussy, precious vaccine that is very specific. Specific transport requirements, storage requirements. Once it's drawn up, there are multiple doses in the vial that must be given within 5 or 6 hours. So this was a vaccine that did not lend itself to distribution to over 1,300 practices. And for the most part, we got those vaccines to people over 85 over the past 3 weeks, bar about 600, 700 this week, and some who are housebound that were beginning this week. We got the great majority of them without trouble. And as I said in another interview when I visited the centre here in CIT last weekend, you could see the joy in everyone's
okay.
face.
And clearly it is working, and we see the benefits as you've outlined there. But can I just ask you, as much as you can, Colm Henry, this morning, when will you complete the over 80s rollout, which is beginning this week, and when will you complete the rollout of those particularly vulnerable groups who are starting midweek?
Well, the first question, that cohort is over 70s, and there's nearly 500,000 altogether. We have now almost completely completed the over 85s, which comprise about 82,000 people. And remember, the risk goes up with age. That's why we're going down with age. By the middle of April, we'll have completed the first dose vaccination for the over 70s age group. And many of those people in that group have other conditions to do, which put them at additional risk. That means 4 weeks later to get their second dose. But Jonathan, the evolving evidence is they get substantive protection even after the first dose. Regarding that other group we talked about at the beginning of the interview, multiple conditions, we're beginning the rollout this week. We're also in parallel identifying many of these patient groups, which, as I said, are well known to hospitals in many cases, to GPs and others. And that vaccination will progress right through the month of March.
OK, Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE. Thank you for joining us on News Talk.